Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, I still do not have Chef Mickey's, and I'm getting down to the wire at this point, man. We're 4 days out, and I'm kind of freaking out a little bit.
Like, while I've believed it was going to happen up to this point, I'll admit this is in the you should be somewhat concerned area of things.
Yeah, and so we have Hollywood and Vine, so we have a character dining experience no matter what, but I really, really want Chef Mickey.
But you don't have the character dining experience.
Right. We had one that came up this morning, but it was for Thursday at 7:55 a.m. and we'll be literally flying through the air. So that one's not going to work.
I mean, you could always like parachute in or something, right? Just tell them, look, I don't actually want to land at MCO. Just let us, we will depart here and, you know, make our best guess at where to land.
Maybe I could convince Southwest to do one of their extra special, you know, fun things and have them serve breakfast on the plane.
Are they Disney's airline currently? I can't remember who's currently bought the rights to that.
To be the official airline of Walt Disney World?
Yeah, but if they have, I mean, I could totally see that happening. Now, if you were to get an Enterprise rent-a-car, then you might have a chance.
That's where I messed up. I did not pre-rent an Enterprise rent-a-car.
But then, of course, Flynn would be the one bringing you your food, and I don't know if that's what you were going for, or a really creepy figurine of Flynn would bring you your waffles. But yeah, I don't know, man. Unfortunately, all you can do is watch and wait.
I'm gonna hold out now, hope that last minute cancellations happen. But
that's what I was about to say. At this point, you're waiting for that day before where people look at their plans and go, nah, we're going to do this instead of that, and you might get some drops with that. So I've got my fingers crossed for you. I'm rooting for you.
Well, I appreciate you. The real first thing that I wanted to talk about was an article that I saw on Reddit a while back, and somebody just posted a picture of the new Epcot, and the only text is, put a people mover in Epcot already. And I immediately said, yeah, that would be incredible to have a slow moving, just ride around Future World. I would be incredible, just especially with all the new neighborhoods and stuff going in. Do you agree? I mean, that would be great to have a covered slow moving attraction that just told you, like, there's the Land Pavilion, whatever. There's, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. There's Connections Cafe. Like, I don't know. I think that would be great. That's a no brainer to me.
So I love this idea, but let me pitch to you. Do we want a people mover, or do we want some sort of transportation? Because the people mover is going to be a single entrance and exit point, right? So you're going to get a ride to be introduced to all of the things, and then you will exit, versus kind of like the rail. So you wouldn't do the railroad, right? Because that's a Magic Kingdom thing, and I don't think that really fits in with Epcot. But some sort of transportation thing between Future World and the World Showcase, or Celebrate, whatever they're called now, you know what I'm talking about, I think could be really nice to have. Basically something that gives you the equivalent of the railroad around the World Showcase Lagoon.
It would help with the SATCOT problem, at least for right now, where you have to, you know, it takes you 20 minutes to get from Connections Cafe to the Land Pavilion, because you have to walk all the way around the center of Future World.
Which is also probably the reason they wouldn't do it right now.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't want to just, and here is construction. Yeah. And if you look to your left, construction. Wow. And if you look to your right, more construction.
Check out all those groovy walls.
Yeah, but I mean, I am 100% behind it, but I'm also a fan of a people mover anywhere. You know, yeah, I would take a people mover around my house. And if you look to your left, you'll see the living room. And if you look to your right, the kitchen.
It's a very short
people mover, but I want one.
That was another thing that made me think about was why haven't they done another kind of attraction like that in another park? You know, the people mover is kind of singular in that it's just a short trip around Tomorrowland to show you, you know, the things.
I think the answer to that is seen at Disneyland, where they got rid of their people mover and tore everything up because they don't see the people mover as successful. Honestly, my belief is if the people mover wasn't already in place in Magic Kingdom, you would not get the green light to build that today.
Well,
but
no.
Since it's already there,
you're right.
They will do the upkeep necessary to keep it there because it does eat people. But there have been a few times where, you know, with the what do they call the ramps?
Speed ramps.
There you go. Where the speed ramps have been down, where I've wondered if the people movers' days were numbered simply because they would decide it wasn't worth fixing the speed ramps or something. So
yeah,
I don't see, like, I would love for them to add it. I just don't think that is where you would need a new take on the people move, but, I think, in order for them to do something.
But no, I don't want a new take on it. I want classic people mover.
I don't want a new take on it. I'm just saying, I think that that's the only way that you're going to get this project through Imagineering, you know, or not even, maybe not through Imagineering, but through the bean counters, at least, to say, let's add this to the parks.
No, you're right. I mean, this is the people mover is like classic Disneyland thinking, where way back when Disneyland was opening, they weren't really worried about how an attraction was going to perform. They were worried about if it was fun. And that, you know, the people mover was born out of that, because it's just like a nice little ride through Tomorrowland. It doesn't serve a function, like you say. But it's fun, and lots of people do it, and people love it. But yeah, I mean, it would not be, it's not a modern attraction. And I feel like, unfortunately, things like the people mover and living with the land and those kind of pointless, you know, not that living with the land is my favorite, but it's not pointless, but it's not exciting. You know, it's not a thrill ride. And it seems like they're more, you know, interested in big showstopper, you know, what, e-ticket attractions only. You know, there doesn't seem to be much room for CD your B or C ticket attractions anymore. So I think you're right.
I think if you want a chance for the people mover, what you have to come up with is some way to synergize it. That is your only snowball's chance of getting something like this through, is to come up with some way to tie it in to a property.
More synergy than Alamo Rent-A-Car?
Is it Olaf's people mover, right? Then maybe we can find a way to make this work. But if it's just a people mover, I mean, what is even the point in something like that today?
And try to explain to people what Wedway means. It's the new Wedway people mover. What's Wed?
Yeah, I don't know. I want to see more of that sort of thing around Disney, but I don't anticipate seeing more of that sort of thing around.
Right. Well, and I think the funny thing about it is the biggest takeaway I had from that Reddit post was that the people mover fits so much better in Epcot than Tomorrowland that I wonder if Disney World had come first, you know, Epcot had come first, all that, that if the people mover would have been in Epcot, and, you know, Magic Kingdom never would have gotten it.
Well, it's, so thinking about it, it's kind of interesting that it didn't end up in Epcot, right? because at the time, the people mover would have still been a concept that would have worked. And you think about Epcot, the original, like, EPCOT Epcot, the neighborhoods and city Epcot. And the people mover was supposed to be part of that, as were monorails. Those were transportation methods that Walt saw using
in this functional to get people to and from work.
Right, right. And so given that, you would kind of expect there to have been a people mover. And so the issue with the people mover at Magic Kingdom is that you can only have it in Tomorrowland.
Right.
Right. You can't suddenly have the people mover rolling through maybe Fantasyland. There's a way to make it work, but Frontierland and Adventureland, you would really be stretching it to make it, you know, to suddenly have this going through and not breaking the show in those areas. But yeah, for Epcot, you could easily have it go through all of the, you know, all of Future World and not have any issue whatsoever because it fits in with all of the aesthetic there.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I'd like to see it, but I mean,
you're right. At this point, there's no place for it.
I hate to rain on that parade, but I just don't think that they would go with anything. Well, and it fits right now, but with all of the green spaces and stuff like that, that they're adding to Future World, it may fit less in the future. Though still, it could fit around the outside ring, you would think. But I don't know. Yes, I want a people mover. No, I don't think we'll see a people mover.
I think the thing with you and I is we both want the Epcot we were promised by Walt. And I mean, at least for me, every want I have for Epcot stems from that video of Walt saying, "This is Epcot." You know, the EPCOT Epcot, and telling us all about this community where people would live and work. And I don't know, I just want that so bad that sometimes I forget it's a theme park, I guess.
Well, and you want a theme park, but, well, I can't say what you want. I can say I want a theme park, but I kind of want the edutainment theme. Now, that said, that's why I actually really like the new Way of Water thing. Okay. I get a lot of people are dunking on it, but it is Moana in a way that kind of, you know, that fits with that movie, and they're teaching the water cycle.
That Te Fiti sculpture also rules.
Oh, 100%.
It's so good.
But they're actually, so I saw the photos the other day that were, you know, that people were taking of the informational placards or whatever, where it explains, you know, how the water from the sky comes down to the earth and goes back up into the sky and all that. That's awesome. That's the kind of Epcot that I want. I want something where my kids can go and see something really fun and really cool and also learn a little bit at the same time. And yes, that 100% makes me a nerd. But that's the kind of stuff that I want to see. So
that's Epcot, though.
Right. And that's so I like that kind of stuff.
Supposed to be.
And I also like Mission Space, where it teaches them about how they would they could fly in a space. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
have a throw up.
Right. it's kind of a win-win thing.
Yeah. But, well, that's why Living with the Land is so important to me, is because it is the edutainment attraction at Epcot now. You know, after Tron Track, you know, when Test Track became not a, you know, car testing attraction anymore.
The testing of the future.
Right. Yeah. It's just like they had something that was themed fun with Crash Test Dummies and they made it, you know, into something else. But anyway, I just like every time we do something in Epcot, it seems like they're moving away from the edutainment, you know, let's make the future better. And the Way of Water is very interesting because it does seem to lean heavily into, why don't you learn something while you're here? You know, look at this beautiful sculpture and, yeah, walk around this really cool, you know, really cool area. And also, you know, there's like stuff to do and learn. And so I like that a lot. If nothing else comes of the whole like neighborhoods concept in Epcot, you know, at least we got something, a return to the edutainment, you know, past of Epcot. I like it.
So that just made me think, why was the Crash Test Dummy song never used at Test Track?
Licensing, my man.
It's Disney. They could have afforded to license it. I mean, guys, that was an easy win. And then also,
are you talking about the Crash Test Dummies cartoon song?
No.
That, once there was a man who, that song?
That's the Crash Test Dummies I want
to
hear.
Okay. I was thinking the theme song to the cartoon, because that was, you know, musically more, good than that Crash Test Dummies song, but.
Oh man, that's so harsh. That's so harsh.
That is the weirdest song that's ever been.
Oh, 100%. No, it's a weird song. 100%, it's a weird song. It is not the weirdest song that has ever been popular. I'm not sure what it is, but I will guarantee you that after we're done recording, we can find some weirder songs that were popular.
The weirdest song was probably by a guy named Al.
Yes, he was quite odd. And that's why they called him Odd Al.
Odd Al. Anyway, you were saying?
actually, I was about to say that you're bringing up that cartoon made me want them to retheme Test Track to completely revolve around those Crash Test Dummies from when we were kids that they did all the PSAs with.
Yeah.
That, you know, that the cartoon eventually... Or that they eventually spawned the cartoon because they were so popular. But for those of you who are young and not old like me and Jeremy, there were Crash Test Dummy PSAs on TV. I want to say by the transportation safety, you know, whatever.
It was, NHTSA. It was the National Highway Transportation Safety Authority.
Right. And they, you know, the Crash Test Dummies were funny and talked and all these sorts of things. And they would have been perfect spokes dummies for the Test Track attraction.
Yeah.
And Disney probably owns them.
Those
at this point.
Those ads were like, have you noticed that insurance companies have the best commercials on TV? Like, I don't know what happened, but Geico, Progressive, they all have the best ads on TV. And those Crash Test Dummy ads were on that level. They were actually funny and informative. I, as a child, as a kid who was not big enough to ride in the front seat, knew what weight I needed to be to ride in the front seat.
Because the Crash Test Dummies had told you.
Yes.
And you retained that information because you paid attention when that commercial came on because it was funny.
It was good.
And you wanted to pay attention to that commercial.
I wanted to make the Crash Test Dummies proud.
Disney, get the Crash Test Dummies involved.
That would have been, because the Test Track was very serious. I mean, the whole thing revolved around testing a car for safety. Had they closed it and the refurb been a comedy refurb where they went in and kept the Crash Test Dummy theming and you know that style but made it funny, I think that would have been way better, because Test Track is fun now, but it's boring. You go in and make a car that doesn't matter at the end, and all the twists and turns and tests and stuff just don't make any sense anymore. And I think a keeping with the Crash Test Dummies theme, but making it funny like those ads would have been such a more effective attraction, because I don't think anybody was complaining about Test Track presented by GM, and then when they closed it and it became Test Track presented by Chevrolet, that's when it got, you know, like, oh, okay, yeah. It's, you know, Test Track, whatever. You go fast at the end.
But spoiler alert, Jeremy, ultimately, Disney cares about none of what we have to say.
Right.
Because they're making money hand over fist, as was proven this week as the Genie Plus hit a new high of $35 a day per person.
We have been recording this podcast for almost 10 years. 9.5 years we've been doing this thing, and I still have not learned to shut up about, like, saying, well, prices can't get any higher than this, right? They wouldn't let that happen, blah, blah, blah. I'm just not going to say stuff like that anymore.
You're just finally giving, you're finally throwing in the towel.
I'm jaded now.
I think that would be wise because I've seen how it's been working for you up to this point. And spoiler alert, bud, it's not well. You keep thinking they're not going to do something, and then they're like, watch this.
I thought there was something about $30, 30, that they didn't want to pass, and yet here they go.
Yeah, so as of April 4th, which, you know, some of you might also know as the day Tron actually opened, it hit $35. And April 4th was also the second day in a row in weird situation, because the first day would have been the day before Tron opened. The second day in the row that Genie Plus sold out for the day, and was the second of 4 consecutive days that Genie Plus sold out completely. And we're talking, there was at least one or two of those days where it was sold out by like 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it was selling out quickly.
So apparently $35 doesn't matter. People are still going to buy it and pay lots of money for it. So,
Now this last week, so we're both in Texas and our spring breaks were in mid-March. But this past week was like the big spring break for most of the country.
So, it is also Easter, right, leading up into Easter weekend. So even if you didn't have a full spring break, you likely had a lot of places, a lot of schools and stuff especially had Fridays off.
Right. But yeah, I'm done saying, yeah, it can't get any worse than this. You know, I've got 3 tickets, $35 each. That's $105 per day for me
that's
to buy Genie
almost
Plus.
Another that's not almost, that is another ticket,
yeah,
to the Magic Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
Each day. I don't know, maybe the prices have gone up, but it's right around there.
Just
for the honor of getting Genie Plus. And that's assuming that you don't want to ride Tron. Spoiler alert, you're going to want to ride Tron.
Right.
So that day, you're going to fork over another, you know, $40 because you and your wife are both going to want to ride it. Oh, man. This is just
It's weird, bonkers. Man. It's weird. It's funny to me. We went so long with Genie Plus being a thing. I guess they launched it at a time where, like, the big busy season had just passed. And we almost got lulled into this false sense of security about it. Like, yeah, the price went up. And yeah, they did the thing where you couldn't pre-buy it anymore, which was, turns out, the canary in the coal mine that, yeah, we're planning on jacking the price up. And we don't want you to, you know, lock in $15 a day a year ahead of time.
Yeah, the bean counters have told us that we're going to be able to make bank on this later.
So we had the so long, you know, it felt like a year of having Genie Plus and it not ever selling out and being, you know, quote, reasonable, comparatively speaking. And then we get to this, you know, really busy time of year. And it's like, yeah, also, you know, it's more than double what the original price was. And it sells out. And I now believe, you know, we talked about doing it per park as like a, you know, what if kind of scenario. But I pretty much think now that's going to happen. It's going to be per park because they are missing out on revenue by Tron in the Magic Kingdom, stopping people who want to ride Tower of Terror over at DHS from buying Genie.
Yeah, I think that we are now in the timeline where it is when, not if,
yeah,
per park Genie Plus becomes a thing.
Totally agree.
Because that's also more money that Disney can put in their pockets. By what they can do is they can get us all used to this new $35 life, or, you know, maybe or, you know, maybe after this week they'll drop it back down to $29 to make everybody feel really good. And then they'll turn it into a multi-park thing where a single park will only set you back $25. And then you can add another park for just $5 more. Or you can have the full park package for an extra $15, you know, or something right. like that. Where
all
ultimately,
four parks is $50.
Right. It's going to be more expensive overall if you want to do that. You will see a slight savings on one park, them knowing that most people are going to do two parks, and they'll make two parks cost the same amount
right.
as what it did before. And of course, everything will be as available. Now, I did look it up, and Genie Plus started in October of 2021. In October of 2022 is when they went to variable pricing.
So it has been over a year of no sellouts.
Right. Right. So we had a year of just $15 a day. Then the variable pricing started in October of 2022, and the first sellout wasn't until like this year, right?
Yeah.
In February,
when,
I think,
because when
was, like,
we talked
President's
about it,
President's Day or something.
Yeah, when we talked about it, that was the first sellout, and I said maybe this is the only time it ever sells out because I'm dumb,
And it sold out like the next day or yeah. like a couple. I don't remember. It
sold out the next day.
Yeah. And then it sold out again. And
by the,
then
by
now
the
it
time
sold
the
out
episode,
4 days in a row.
By the time the episode dropped, I had been proven wrong.
Which is just the way that you want it to go.
Sure.
If you're going to get proven wrong, you want to be proven wrong in a way where everybody who's listening on the release date even goes, no, you're wrong. Yeah, dumb. Because
when my mom listens and says, no,
yeah,
my sweet summer child, that's wrong.
It's never going to be that way, bud. Oh, man. But yeah, it's sold out 4 days in a row. And at this point, so my expectation, it only sold out. What was that, like the 3rd through the 6th through Thursday, which was kind of interesting to me because that means it did not sell out essentially the Easter weekend time on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, right?
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. I saw how many days it had sold out, and I was just like, oh, it's just going to sell out every day from now on, and I guess I quit checking.
And that's the thing is I kept checking because I wanted to see how many days this was going to go for, and it was such a weird time period because that's the weekend. That's when it should have been busier,
mm-hmm.
and it's a holiday weekend, which makes it even busier, and yet somehow it didn't sell out those days. So I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what all of that means, but given that information, I kind of expect the next set of sellouts to happen around July 4th. I don't know. We might end up with like the little onesie twosie sellout here and there between now and then, but we're not going to see a lot more sellouts between those.
I'm
those
assuming
days.
That by July 4th, we have per park.
Per park.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it goes, but turning the boat is a slow thing, and as we have discussed so many times before, when you have a system that is held together with duct tape and glue and you know, chewing gum, I don't know that you want to try to rock that boat too much.
What you're saying, I agree with. It is a big ship and it takes a long time to turn it. But I think what speeds it along is what you said. It's a price drop. They are going to be able to come out and say, look, Genie Plus is the most popular thing we've ever had. It's selling out every day. They don't even have to go into like, we've been raising the price to try to keep it from selling out. They just say it's been selling out every day. What we're going to do to combat that, to help you have a better time, is move it to per park. It's only going to be $10, $12.
By the way, we're going to drop the price when we do it.
Yeah, it's going to be $12 per park. If you want,
ain't no way, ain't no $20 minimum per park.
I don't know.
I'm saying starting at one park, it will be $20.
Maybe.
At least.
Maybe they go back down to 15. It's $15 for one park, 25 for two, 35 for three, and then 45 for all of them, or 40 for all of them, you know, or whatever. So they end up with more money if you get all of them. But even if they only go down to 30, just for them to be able to say a lower number than it costs now.
Oh yeah.
Is meaningful. And I think that's what causes this to not be, you know, the hurdle that it could be. Because if you know, things like moving to Genie Plus, yeah, that's a lot of expectation setting. Telling people you're going to have to start paying for this, there's a long time where you start dropping little pieces of information and you start telling people like things are changing. Here's all the things that Genie's going to do. Oh, now it's Genie Plus and Genie is still free. Don't worry about that. We told you about Genie. Genie's free. Genie Plus is an add-on. It's going to be $15 per person per day. And then they let people sit on that. They let the media cycle go. 6 months later, people have stopped talking about, oh, you have to pay for it or whatever. Then it comes out. And I think they really have to worry about how they're perceived. But they have a win, an instant win to say, it's cheaper now. We've made it cheaper to help you have a better time. Boom. That's it. That's all they have to say.
So I don't anticipate the issue being that they don't know how to market it or they're going to have any issues marketing it. My concern is technical. I don't know that they have a system that can handle selling it per park if everything was coded in to handle it as, when you buy Genie Plus, you have it for all the parks, then you have to recode it to where it, you know, where you have more granular permissions.
No, they'll just have shopping carts on shopping carts on shopping carts.
That's where I'm a little bit like, I don't know that they can, I don't know that they're going to want to do that. But I, at the same time, whenever there's money on the line, MVP, minimum viable product.
Yeah, I just wonder.
Might be what they try to get out there.
I wonder, the C-suite says, we need per park Genie Plus. The CFO says, like, we got to have this. What is the head of IT say? Like, no? I don't feel like the IT department at Disney has any ability to say no.
So not no, but how long it would take.
Yeah.
They might say one thing and then get told they're going to do another thing, and thus you end up with a more patched together. I don't know what we're going to see, but yes, we are going to see this at some point. The only difference between the two of us is when we expect this to come, but it's gonna come, I think. And again, I think it's going to cost $20 minimum. It will be cheaper to add on additional parks. You won't have to pay the full price per park, because that's kind of Disney's model for everything, is give you promotional pricing when you add additional things on to make you feel like you're getting a better deal. And at the end of the day, if you get all the parks, it's going to cost you way more than what it costs now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a magical day.